Did you get one?
Okay.
Good morning. So this is the next packet. Unfortunately, I was a little bit irresponsible and did not get in the safer to get copied by the people who actually know how to use a copy machine. So there may be some words cut off as we go through. If it's a big problem, then if we continue this one next week, I'll have it redone. But it was the best I could do under the circumstances. I couldn't even figure out which way to put the paper to get both sides on. But
oh, you did it.
Yeah, I did it myself. That was the problem.
I would have got it. I thought you said you gave in the copy.
No, I should. That's what I've done in the past, and they know what they're doing. But I attempted to do it, and we'll see.
Oops.
Okay. So.
You said we were going to start.
Yeah, no. So I think. So we've been moving along. I think nicely. The truth is, this week is a little bit of a turning point. You know, we've been trying as much as possible to, you know, give some, I guess, what we call like lemaisa takeaways from what we've been doing. The truth is, that's not what he's been doing. And his actualizing approach actually starts in the next parak, and this is the last parak where he sets up the background. Now, again, I don't think that takes away from anything that we've developed. But he's going to kick it up a notch next week. But think there are, we definitely want to make sure to finish this parak this week. Even if we don't finish it all inside, maybe we'll skip around a little bit to try and get the last of the building blocks for his approach that he wants to lay down, and then we'll work from there. So again, this is a parak vav. We'll actually start by skipping. We'll skip the first page. I guess I could have started
the bottom of Mendalid.
To the bottom
right?
of Nandalad, yes. Yeah,
Nandalad, where it says, Mahiya Amirarakam.
Yeah. So again, that's what we were talking about last time, that the neshama...
Oh,
you got it? The neshama has its feminine side to it, and the Torah tells us that the way
to access the neshama is to speak softly and gently. So I think... Should I explain here about the brura first, or...?
I think start, and then you can see.
So, the way to speak to the neshama directly, that the neshama will be able to understand, is this, he developed this is what we spoke about last week, this type of speech that's like a soft, gentle kind of speech. But what he's going to develop more in this chapter is not that it's only a soft, gentle kind of speech, it's also a speech with a certain clarity.
Right, clarity and content.
Something that you understand
right.
Exactly what it's talking about, not something convoluted, lofty, you know, high.
I think
Neshama understands.
It should become clear.
It
should become clear.
As it goes on. Okay. Okay. So now he's going to explain what he means when he talks about Amira Raka. These two guys, Reuven and Shimon, are walking together. He stops him and he says, look, there's $100 on the floor. Shimon shomer lo Reuven. Shimon hears right away. Shimon goes, he picks it up from the floor. So in order for Reuven to get Shimon to pick up the $100, Meharitzba, in Sorach Bitvarim Hakashim Kigidim, he doesn't need to speak harshly. You don't have to say, you know, Shimon, there's $100, like, go get it off the floor. He knows there's $100, you know, all you have to say, you can whisper, you can say, Shimon, look, there's $100 bill on the floor.
You don't have to tell him what to do.
You don't have to tell him what to do, right. Maspika Amira, all you need is this kind of speech that we call Amira. Well, you just have to say, look, $100. Lashon Kala Varaka, soft tone. V'chozos Lama, why? Okay, number one, ki $100, zo mitzio brura, right? It's, everybody understands that mea dollar, $100, is... Everybody understands what it is. We understand the value of it. Number two, v'hatzorach lachasef etah adam gam hu mitzios brua. And everybody knows that this $100 is good for us, that we need it. Memela kevan she barur la adam shemunach kan kasef, right? He knows that he sees the money. V'arur lo gam shehu me'od nitzrachom, and he knows that he can use it. Yeshna tzlo mashicha gvoha la'asiyas ha'pula, mitoch kaf le'pulas haramasav kesav must be garamiza kalo. All he needs, he understands the value of $100, and he understands the value of what it's going to do for him. So all he needs is a little hint. Look, you know, all you have to do is just point, just, you know, explain to him that it's there. So when do we need, now we spoke about a practical example of how we can use like a Lashon Raka, this Amira, but when do we need a harsher tone? Dvarim HaKashim Kigidim, we need this to speak harshly. Nitrachim L'davar Shetivo Shal Adam So Sarah. So there's something that somebody's trying to avoid, somebody doesn't want to do, right? My kid doesn't want to, you know, put on her shoes to go out to school. The bus is coming. Like, I have to, you know, she wants to just stay in her pajamas. Like, I have to say, like, come on, get dressed, get ready, get, you know, go. L'davarim Shetivo Shal Adam So Sarah. So Dvar Shehu Eino Ro Seba Umeunyan L'Zarchek Mimenu. Somebody that somebody's trying to get away from. When you want to uncover the inner truth and to kind of change somebody's nature, then you need this harsh tone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The neshama is what we spoke about last week with this ko tomar lebeis Yaakov, the amira, you know, that it's more of a gentler. It needs a more of a gentler tone. Ha'amira novas mehabihiris ha'gvoha sheyesh l'neshama. This amira, this kind of gentle talk, comes from the I guess like lofty, high clarity that the neshama possesses. The neshama, everybody's neshama has this kind of clarity. Ha'neshama ro'eh esas v'rim b'tzura b'rura. The neshama sees everything in a very, very, very clear way. Mitzad ha'neshama ein shum manir l'ratzos es hadvarim. There's no, you don't have to hold anything back from the neshama. V'lachin k'sheyeshna afilu rak b'vachina shel maramakom. All you have to do with the neshama is like show, like, look, there's $100 on the floor. It's very obvious. The neshama wants something that's very clear, very obvious, very straightforward, very pashat. K'sherak matzvim be'etzva v'omrim lo kazer'e. My husband had explained this. I didn't know what he was talking about. Just like
Kazerei the Kadesh is the right. It's an allusion to when Hashem says to Moshe, "Look at this moon," and then the Kadesh. This is the type of moon that will lead to Kiddush HaChodesh, that will lead to the new Molad.
So all you have to do is just point and say,
"You see that when the Neshama sees this, the Kadesh, it will connect."
It will connect it. So simple, clear, just to summarize, simple, clear things. This Amira Raka that we spoke about last week is not just the tone, a gentler tone that we can use to access in Hashem. It's not just a way we speak. It's also that it has to be in a simple, clear fashion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll explain it a little more with the mushroom on the next page.
Okay. Yeah. Hanavarim.
Are we turning?
Yeah,
oh, sorry. Turn to the top of Nunvav. Okay, there's another good mashal here. He's going to make it a little bit more.
The mashal really helped explain his, you know, loftier ideas, and okay. I think in a way that's.
Hadvarim yuvharu yoserafim mashal. Right, he's going to give another mashal. This is a good one. Adam, in the this is the pre-ways days. Okay, pre-ways days. Can I say that 10 times fast? Adam no sabarecha. Right, this guy is driving in a car. V'hu rotze la'agil makomploni. He wants to get somewhere. Me'olam hu lo hayasham, he was never there. Memele no makira saderach, and he has no idea how to go. Lifnei she'yatza laderach, hisbiru lo ketzad alav linso. He asks his friends, and they say, here's how you go. Sar ad haramzor, sham tifnei yimina. Right? He tells him, go to the traffic light, turn, make a right turn, go here, go there. You know, he writes down the direction. Gam la'achar she'hisbiru lo asadverim me'od bevirur. His friends explain to him so clearly how to get there. Who call Hazman Choshesh Shema Lo Shema Tov? He's doubting himself the whole time. He's always second guessing. He thinks he didn't hear right. Shema Lo Hivin Kara Oy. He didn't understand. Olay No Zochar B'Diak Ma Shemar Lo. Or maybe he didn't understand when the guy said, like, you know, go to the roundabout. He didn't really understand what he was talking about. Zos misham sheino yodea ma mitapelo ba'osa simta. The imkain miyodea ulai he musteres aide tamvalera. He's not sure because he was never there. He doesn't recognize it, and every turn he's second guessing himself. He's saying, like, maybe there were trees covering the street sign, maybe I missed it, maybe I don't know where to go. Okay, so that's one example. Ulumazos, as opposed to Adam Shahaya b'makom ploni, somebody who was already somewhere, right? You already drove, I don't know, somewhere to West Hempstead. You know, you recognize it, you know where to go, you know the street, you're in that shul already. I don't know why I picked West Hempstead, but somewhere
I wasn't going to ask that.
Yeah, I don't know. Avshek Varzman Rav Lo Hayasham, even if you only were there 5 years ago for a simcha, and you don't recognize it. As soon as the person starts giving you examples, all he has to do is remind you this is the right way to go. And as soon as he's reminded of which way to go, it's very, very obvious which way. Once you're, you know, you say, like, oh, I remember going there. I remember, right. You have to make a right turn at the gas station. You remember how to go. Klomar, nekudas achilak bein shnei hamikrim hi yesodis. There's a fundamental distinction between these two situations, right? The first one and the second one. B'mikrash adam lo ayab makom elam. The one where somebody was never in a certain place and he's stressing. He's not sure how to go. Even after somebody gives him directions, who he's not clear. He's not comfortable with them. The halev eino shalim im adverim. Ma she'enkein im adam yadas adverim v'rak nishkacho belibo. So on the other hand, right, you know how to get somewhere. You just forgot how to go. You just need to be reminded. B'sha'ash maskrim lo osam u'mesaretz lo hazikaron. Right? As soon as you're reminded, you know which way to go. Okay, so now he's going to explain how this relates to our neshama. Ha neshama hi bebechinas olam baror. The neshama comes from a clear world. It comes from a clear place. The neshama comes from a place of clarity. The Gemara misupar al Rav Yosef. The Gemara speaks about the story of Rav Yosef, and he comes back from, he passed away, and he comes back from Olam HaEmes. What's the first thing you're going to ask somebody who comes back from the afterworld? You say, what did you see? He explained, Olam HaFuch Ra'isi, I saw a world of opposites. Elyonim lemata v'tachtonim lemala. I saw the people who were up high, the respected people on high. I saw them on the bottom, v'tachtonim, and the downtrodden. I saw lemala. I saw on top. Anulo olam baror ra'isa. You saw. You didn't see an opposite world. You saw clarity. You saw what's really going on.
Meaning that in our world, things are convoluted and things aren't always as they seem. So we could have people who are the people who people are looking up to and think are everything is great for them, and that's not the reality. And the reality is that in the Olam HaEmes, they're going to be on the bottom. And you can have people who seem to not be succeeding in any way in this world and not looked up to in any way. And over there, when there's clarity, they're going to be in a higher position. So our world is a world of confusion and a world of a lack of clarity. And the truth, though, is something which is very clear. Now, how does that relate to the concepts we've been talking about? So that's what he's suggesting right now. He says, "Bishosh anashama yotzeis min haguf." Right, when the soul leaves our bodies, "Hiroa olam barer," it sees a clear world. So Bariru Zuhi Anakuda Shitzikala Hakayosaloras and Shama. So if that's true, if the truth is going to be that in the world to come there's going to be clarity, that clarity relates to the soul. Because there's no body anymore up there. So that means that if we know that the neshama needs clarity, so then the question, if we want to tap into the neshama here, is how do we give the neshama that clarity while maintaining our bodies? Right, without having to get there, how can we achieve some sort of clarity that our neshamos can relate to? And it's because it's that clarity that's going to awaken the neshama. Kol zman she'adam ishtamesh l'tzorech avodas Hashem b'dvarim she'enam brurim lo legamri. So if a person tries to inspire, if the root of what a person's spiritual life is not something which is 100%...
He's trying to get these deep ideas that he doesn't really understand.
Right. If a person's trying to... If a person's, you know, religious persona and connection to Hashem is something that he or she can't clarify and is not 100% clear, dvarm amumim on the next page, things that are unclear, einam yecholim l'oras haneshama, the neshama can't relate to those. I'll explain it more in a moment, but because they're not neshama. It's not neshama speak. Neshama speak requires absolute clarity. The way to relate to the neshama is by taking the things that are in the spiritual realm, but things that we are 100% positive about. And when we use those things, as opposed to more convoluted concepts, then we will achieve a certain clarity. So if you skip two paragraphs, I'll give an example. Nitan kan dugman nifla. Give a very amazing example. Ekuda achas ekuda pshuta mod. A very basic point. Sheitan nitan oras haneshama. That this is something which the neshama can relate to. By Melari Bono Shalom, we come to Hashem again, not in the sense of having to leave this world, but we can turn to Hashem. Ve'omrim lo, when we say Ribono Shalom Avinu Ata, you are our Father. It's not the deepest. It's not something which requires, you know, sitting for hours and in order to figure it out.
Right.
It's a very simple point. It says Nekuda Zusha Kadosh Baruch Hu Avinu. This point that Hashem is our Father. You said this. It's a Kol Yehudi Mamin. Every believing Jew. This is a basic. Even if in our hearts we don't necessarily feel it, in terms of our recognition on an intellectual level, it's clear. It's something obvious. And that's the kind of thing that can awaken the neshama. So you skip to the next place, the next page. He'll try to explain this a little bit. He'll summarize what he said and try to take it another step further. So he says like this: Right, nisakem is hadvarim. Hemadnu shtei nekudos binyan tiva shel neshama. We established two points when it comes to the nature of the soul. Ha'achas shel neshama chusha saruchnis es hakadosh baruch hu kemetzios. Ulumazos haseir odia sheyir shibono shel neshama v'lo chasha sel kemetzios. Right, that was what we developed over the first few weeks. That there's a difference between our intellectual appreciation of Hashem and the fact that the neshama can sense Hashem the same way any of our other organs sense what they're supposed to sense. Our eyes see, our ears hear, our neshama can feel Hashem, but it has to be revealed, it has to be opened. And the second point is...
The neshama can feel Hashem, but not the same as the seichel can feel Hashem.
The seichel doesn't feel.
Right.
The seichel knows,
right.
And the neshama feels.
Yes. Okay.
That the neshama is clear, has total clarity. So he says, so now, kedei l'orar as haneshama, if we want to awaken this neshama inside of us, so we have to fulfill both conditions. So first, ala adam lahavir la'atzmod kamashnitam, we have to clarify as much as possible, sheyadiyos halal himitzius bruva kayemes, that what we're discussing is clear to us, what we're talking about, and what we believe is 100% clear. L'mashal says, for example, when it comes to the point that we just said, shalakadosh baruch hu ne'amar vinuat, that Hashem is our Father, we have to be able to think, k'shem shel adam yesh av gashmi, just like every person as a physical father, v'makiro etev, that we can recognize and understand and wrap our minds around, kach gam beruchnius alav lisponim b'davla gila karkira kashbaruchu lo pachos abba shalom me'aviv agashmi. We have to be clear that Hashem, when we say is our father, is no less our father than our physical father.
Even more so.
Okay, but at least if we start with equal footing, then we can understand it on a deeper level, and that's what Chazal tell us. Shlosha shutvin yesh ba'adam. There are three partners in the creation of every human being: Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv v'Imo, a mother, a father, and God. And those three components are necessary in order to bring new life into the world. Ha'ava im nostim bo saivar magashmiim. The DNA, the physical, is provided by the mother and the father. V'akadosh Baruch Hu nofeach bo nishmas chayim. And Hashem provides the spiritual neshama. So again, the same way you couldn't have the physical without the mother or without the father. They're essential, and we understand that. So it should be just as clear to us that there wouldn't be a spiritual, and we wouldn't be the people that we are without Hashem. So Hashem is contributing the same way that a mother or a father can contribute.
The spiritual DNA.
Right, that's a good way of saying it, right? The spiritual DNA. And the spiritual DNA is absolutely necessary.
Right.
And, fine. Haguf makiras ha'ava gashmi shelo. So the body recognizes the physical father. We have to get the same clarity when it comes to the spiritual father. The neshama does know it, right? The neshama is aware of it. Elamai on neshama behelam, but the neshama is hidden, which is what we've been dealing with throughout. But the neshama has this natural draw towards Hashem, but as long as it's covered over, it doesn't manifest itself. It doesn't have the ability. You know, it's almost like the magnet is available and can pull towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you put something, you know, in front of the magnet that prevents the magnetic force or whatever it is, I don't know, in simplistic terms, from passing through, then there's no meshicha, there's no connection, there's no magnetic draw between the two sides. So atnai hasheni, in the next paragraph, anidrash kedei la'aretz haneshama. So the second condition is she'adam lo yeh bebechinas shetuki, a suffig. So shetuki is a term in Chazal for somebody who is not sure who the father is, knows who the mother is, but there is a question who the father is. The reason it's called shtuki is because you always tell people to be quiet, don't talk about it, because he doesn't want to talk about the fact that he doesn't know who the father is. So it's a halachic category. Again, the Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Kiddushin has to figure out, well, how do we deal with this? Because again, it has to do with, you know, who the person can potentially marry, and the yichus of the person, and the Kahuna and Leviya. Again, the mother can tell us if the child is Jewish or not, irrespective of the father, but there are plenty of other things that we do need to know who the father is. So again, that's what the Gemara talks about. She'eni yodea miyav, he doesn't know his father is. Kemosha begashmius, bedera kalitz akodam, tzios miyav vibrulam. But again, most people on the physical level know who their father is. So kach gam beruchnius, we have to make sure that it's 100% clear to us who our father is. So again, that's the clarity that he's talking about. So it's the simple ideas are the ideas that the neshama can relate to. So amira raka that we're talking about things that the neshama relates to have to do with being again spoken softly, and again all that we talked about until now is certainly essential as well. But there's another aspect to it of being clear, and that the neshama wants to relate to things that are very clear. So where does that take us now? So he takes it one step further.
Yeah, we skip to Be'etzem.
Okay. Another one. Okay. So Be'etzem. So if we skip down two paragraphs, so he says as follows. Because again, he's dealing with a little bit of a potential problem. You know, the things that are obvious and the things that we know, we don't necessarily want to really think about that much. Right?
Right.
We know it already.
It's boring.
It's boring, right? We don't reread a book that we know. You know, we tend the things that we already know. We're ready to move on to something new, to something more exciting. So he writes, Be'etzem gam ba'avaya ha'gashmiz. So he says, but if you think about it, when it comes to the physical, dvarim she'adam motzei bohem tam, something that you can taste, that you enjoy, hu muchan nachzor aleihem pa'amim rabos, you are willing to go back to again and again. What's the simplest example? The dugma, choshatam, take taste. Ma'achal mesuyom she'adam ohev l'ochav, a person likes chocolate, right? So the person doesn't say,
oh, I had that once.
I'm done. Why do I need to have it again? I like ice cream. I ate the ice cream.
I tasted ice cream once. I'm done.
I'm experienced it. Let's move on to something new. It's boring. Right? It's the same. Right? So again, we appreciate that it's not the case. But why is it not the case? Right? When it comes to so many other things, we experience it once. Okay, been there, done that. Move on. But when it comes to certain things, things that we enjoy, I don't know, for me it's pizza. I could eat pizza 3 meals
breakfast,
a day,
lunch, and dinner.
Every day. Every day. So, whatever, so why don't you, doesn't get boring, you don't get sick of it? So it's Michael Masum, there's a food that you really like to eat, even if you ate it, and you ate it again, and it hasn't changed. You know,
it's not the same food.
It's not a new flavor, it's not a new type of chocolate. Who ochel dag, he goes to fish on Shabbos. Okay, he's a loftier person than me. But, right, we gefilte fish. So I had gefilte fish last Shabbos. The gefilte fish isn't going to be any different this Shabbos. Kalkam Shabbos Acharichim. Mikol Mokam Kopam Hunenem Mechadish Achlasov. You don't get, again, if it's something that we really enjoy, we don't get tired of it. You don't get tired of it. Adam Yachol Ahachzik Zman Mesuyam Boso Ochel. Who also Tom Baruch, and you can stay for a long time with the same taste, the same flavor, the same food. And you still want it again. It's not just that you're willing
right,
to.
Right, you enjoy it every time.
Right, somehow, you know, every time you open the freezer, that ice cream is there. You don't mind, dipping in. How does that happen? And you still enjoy it. And he says the same thing you find, again, on a less physical level. Kach gam de adam sheshomei ashir. So there are certain times, right, what's it, generally, not always, when a song gets stuck in your head, right? Or there's a song that you enjoy, mostly when they hear a song that they like, so they'll listen to it multiple times. Don't just listen to it once and move on. So he says, so again, it has to do a little bit, with an interesting topic for a different time, is that there certainly is a connection between song and the soul as well. That then a neshama relates to, then there's a spiritual aspect to music. I don't fully appreciate this
I
part.
I said bring in the chassidus.
I don't fully appreciate this part at all. I'm not a music person.
I get this part more.
Yeah, so you can maybe relate to it more. I have no appreciation for classical music. She's tried. It's not it's a chisaron in me. But the people can listen to the music again and again and find real enjoyment and real even inspiration from hearing, and I feel asros pamim, even tens of times listening to the same symphony, the same song, whatever it is. You have the same tape.
CD.
Right? You listen to the same CD or the same, track again and again. It's not going to sound any different. So you know what it sounded like already. Why are you listening to it again? But we do. We're still drawn to it. You have it, so you still like them. So it says the next page, Ro'im Manu Eifa. So what do you see? Shengam B'gashmius. That the point that we're trying to make is true even in the physical world. Miskaleh HaNepshkuda HaPshuta. When something's very simple, very clear to us, and something that we like, shechelka shana sham shadvarim shadam nena b'motzem tam, who wrote so pam achar pam bli shadavar yimasto. So things that you are simple and clear and that you enjoy, you don't become disgusted with them. You want them again and again. So now, if we put the two things that we're talking about together, so the question is, when it comes to, let's say, spiritual ideas, when it comes to saying, Ribono Shel Olam Avinu Atah, so is that something that we would take the time to seriously think about again and again and again? Or is it something which we've stuck in our back pockets and, been there, done that? We understand that. We're ready to move on to something new. So again, we can anticipate what he's going to say right now. If we can somehow enjoy the thought and the time of reflecting on the fact that Hashem is our Father, then it should be no different on the spiritual level than the ice cream. Right? If it's something that we enjoy, then we're not going to have the thought of the been there, done that. I already know Hashem is my the Father, and now I'm ready to move forward. So why is it that we don't think that?
Why is it spiritually boring,
right?
And not physically.
That's the challenge, right? Heichan shorash havaya biyachas avoda. So where's the problem? Where's the problem when it comes to our avoda? So he says, Kadesh Adam Yirtze Lachza Odpam Odpam Adar Muslim. In order for you to want to review something, Tzarech Sheis Kaimba Pasuk, you have to fulfill the words of the Pasuk, Ta'amu Uruki Tov Hashem. You have to have the sweetness and the taste of connecting to Hashem. If we don't feel the connection to Hashem, and it's just intellectual, so then if it's a piece of knowledge, generally when it comes to something which is just knowledge, so that's where we say, I know it. If I know it, I don't have to read it again. I'm ready to move on. Even if there's a book that a person reads again, it's generally not because the person doesn't have the knowledge. The person's not looking for the knowledge. Sure. There's
just an enjoyment.
Right.
It's
a recreational activity to read a book. The same way, you know, a person maybe would watch a movie that he or she enjoys multiple times. You have the information. You can take the Harry Potter quiz and you'll know all the answers.
It's like we're kids with that the Jamaican.
Oh yeah, this one, Cool Runnings. That's a movie that
the kids are obsessed. They watch. They know the whole thing by heart. Yeah.
So I don't know why, but yeah. So it's in honor of the Winter Olympics. I think
is
starting
isn't that
soon.
Like it's davening, like it's so you know what you're saying.
Exactly. That's the challenge. That's the challenge of davening, right? The challenge of anything that we're doing multiple times. So again, I think
in this book, it's talking about the analogy of eating ice cream, which we know is pleasurable.
Right.
We know it has sugar, cholesterol, like all these other things that we might not want.
Right.
But if we're working on a task and trying to achieve something, like you were saying, the Olympics. That person that's getting the runner's high or the high of doing whatever sport, they know they put the effort in and they get that reward, whatever that reward is. It's the same.
100%, right? The reward here is all reward, right? With the.
But it's so much. It does take a lot of effort. To
correct.
Think about the words to put ourselves in that place.
Right, but I think what he's trying to get to is that, you know, you can sort of know that it's important and worth putting in the effort. But why is it that sometimes we still don't feel the enjoyment?
Right.
That's what I think.
Because you could put the effort into davening, and out of maybe 100 times, you might feel it once that spiritual high, or you're not always going to feel it.
Right. So I think what he's trying to figure out. So how do we develop the sense of being able to feel it? Because if you feel it, you're naturally going to be drawn
then,
to it.
Then you will. Want
right.
To.
It removes the
boring,
obstacle.
Right.
Because. Again, and he's often like this. He's often like that in this. He's not saying anything that if you think about it, you probably couldn't have thought of on your own. It's very simplistic.
Or some people can just reach it without even.
That's for sure true. That's for sure true. But he's relating to things that I think are challenging to many people.
Especially
and
it, time.
Right, and you're just trying to figure out. So why is it? Why is it that there are certain things that I am drawn to, and that I don't mind doing again and again? And then there's davening, there's whatever, certain things that I when I have to do multiple times, it's not like eating pizza. And it becomes a drag. So that's the challenge. That's what he's asking now. So what's the source of the problem here? I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say that it's a challenge to keep yourself open to a new idea and to connect with the soul in a new way. Just like you were saying, listening to a symphony, people that like that can listen over and over and find themselves thinking of something new,
mm-hmm.
You know, like hearing something they didn't hear before and understanding they could get to like a new
understanding. There's a deeper appreciation.
Even if you take eating pizza, like you have to admit that you enjoy it more when you can concentrate on the pizza. Not when you have to talk to a million kids and getting them drinks and getting them apple juice. If you can sit down and enjoy that pizza, I'm not saying you get any new understanding.
I understand.
But it's a concentration.
I understand that.
And it's like davening. When it's a challenge in davening to try to reach a new level. You know, we get distracted because it's the same words.
So that's
it's all concentration.
That's true.
To open.
But you'll sometimes you'll have people that say like, "But I concentrated. I did what I needed to do, but I still don't enjoy it."
But you gotta be. You know, it's the opening.
So that's what he's getting. No, 100%. That's what he's. That's what he's trying to. I think that's what he's trying to get at right now, right? Is again, if we accept the premise of what he said, which is that he said a few chapters ago, that the neshama is that organ that Hashem put into us to function the same way all of our other sensory organs function, which is that they naturally feel. We don't have to think.
Right, why is it that we can relate to the physical so much more than the spiritual?
Right. So if I touched this chair, I felt it with my finger. I didn't have to tell my fingers to feel it. They knew to feel it. Right. That's the way they're designed. As soon as I see something, it's like more than involuntary. You know, it's even deeper than that. So if the soul was put into us to sense Hashem in the same way, then it should require almost minimal effort. Because it should just be something that we experience. So the question is, why is it that we don't feel the... why is it that we don't feel the same way? So he says that if it was true, Shosh HaNakud, Shekoz Mach Nishmasa Shalatim Inu Begoloi, Kasha Lo Lachlush Esatamu Rukidah Hashem. It's again like the magnet example, which I guess I wouldn't pay attention. I would have realized he's about to say in two paragraphs. But... I didn't get up to that earlier. The magnet example, if the magnet is covered, then it's not going to pull. It has to be uncovered. So if our neshamas are too covered and we haven't done, and again, why did Hashem make us that way? That was how we chose. That was one of the challenges of life, is that one of our tests.
It's normal for us to be able to tap into the physical more than the spiritual.
Exactly. That's how we were designed. So the challenge is to figure out how to uncover the neshama to kind of allow it to do its job. So you're 100% right. It's going to require more concentration and more effort to uncover it. But the goal of being able to uncover it is that once we feel that enjoyment, then it should be the havda like the pizza, or something deeper than pizza. But it should be like something that we don't get tired of, and we can taste time and time again. So that's what he says, just to finish up this part here. So, Lachin Anakuda Shal Pshitus Kasha Rak Bahaschala. It's exactly the point that the challenge is just at the beginning. Because if we can get past the beginning, Lachar Shadim Zokam Eskayim Botamu Rikito Hashem, once we enjoy, you know, contemplating, thinking, having a relationship with Hashem, Memelehu Nimshach Achar Advarim Kimo Ha'Evan Ashoeves, just like a magnet. We're going to naturally be pulled. Says that's the mashal that the Ramchal gives. So memutza advarim nilmat. So what's the summary? Kedei lo'oris haneshama tzarich l'shtamish b'shnei kochos. So we have to use two strengths in order to connect with to awaken the neshama. Koach hamuchashiyus.
The sensory.
Right, the sensory. Good. Lachosh es advarim mitzuburura kemetzius kimura to really feel the spiritual as real. And it also, but the things that we're thinking about, the second one is that dvar mitzrichim lihios berurim. The ideas have to be clear. If they're not clear, then it's not going to work. So if you just to finish up on the next page, so writes kefisha marim shomas advar mikufya. If it just sort of shoved down our throats. And it's not something that we're clear about. So if somebody says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Avinu, and we dive in and we say, Avinu Makeinu, and then we, Hashem Avinu, Avinu, good, Father. Every from Jew knows that Hashem is described as Avinu. Stop somebody on the street and ask, Why do you know why your physical father is called your father? So you say, yeah, because he's the source of my existence, right? Without a father, I couldn't be. He participate, right, giving birth to me. Okay, so why is Hashem called Avinu? So, is the person going to naturally give the same answer? Because he
with
fathered me.
And
but it has to be as strong a belief. And that without the... But even not, even before the sustaining, he created. Without that spiritual DNA, yeah.
He gives me everything. He puts everything in front of me.
Right, so there are those... So, Yesha Yanosha. So, some people answer... Kimasha, Garash Baruch, Nekravino, Masha. No, it's
not
a mashal.
It's not just a mashal.
It's a parable. The same way that our father is a major contributor. So to Hashem sustains, but you can't take it too seriously. That's a mistake. It's the opposite. So the reason that Hashem gave us physical parents is to give us a way that we can appreciate what a parent is and what a parent does, so that we can understand how Hashem acts as a parent. Because we look at it usually the opposite way. And that we know that we have parents and, the amazing things that our parents do for us and the role the parents have. And then, God is sort of similar to that. He says, no, the only reason Hashem gave us physical parents is for us to be able to appreciate His role as Avinu. It's a different way of looking at it. But it's a clarity. Even the simple... descriptive words that we use about Hashem, like Avinu Ata, Hayadia, Shehu Avinu Yedua, so we might know it, Aval Havana, we have to understand it, and we have to be able to appreciate it. That's part of this Olam Bar that we're looking toward. Aleinu Lizbon and Ifoso, we need to take time to think. Maya Avana Mitis, Masha Kadosh Baruch Hu Nekra Avinu. So that's, the homework for this week. Even just take that. Take time to pause and to think, what does it mean that Hashem is Avinu? If we can think about all the amazing things that our parents have done or do for us, so how does that relate in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If it's supposed to be the same thing, so how do we internalize that the Avinu Ata of Hashem being our father is no less than our father is our father? And again, it's no different than our mother is our mother. Just the statement, the description is Avinu, but no less than what our parents do. And if we can come to clarity on that, that's what the neshama can relate to. And then when we can start uncovering more of that clarity for our neshamos, then it's going to create that magnetic relationship with Hashem of enjoying it. And then the more that we enjoy it, and then it becomes cyclical. It builds on itself. And that when we appreciate that, then we're drawn back to it. The same way like anything else that we enjoy, we want to come back to it. We look for the opportunity, so the spiritual will have that value as well. And then Be'ezras Hashem, next week, he's going to get more into Lemaisa, how to practically try and internalize these ideas and make them who we are and deepen our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much. Have a good week.
Should we keep these or